Hello, everyone. I'm Jared Schreiber, serial entrepreneur and angel investor in Budapest, and I am here today with the founders of Shruly, David Palanki and Samuel Schaffhauser. So, rather than me telling everybody what your company does, why don't we hear it from you? What is Shruly?
Yeah, we are working on a solution at Shruly to help people grow mushrooms at home. We just realized that it's really hard to get fresh and high quality mushrooms in the stores.
And it is because most mushrooms have a very short shelf life. So the number of mushroom species that is worth commercially manufacturing or producing is very low. So like 96% of mushroom sold is called Agaricus bisporus, known as white button mushroom. But there are thousands of species with better taste, nutritional values, that just simply cannot be purchased anywhere because they go bad after one day of cutting it.
So how did you come up with the idea for this?
Yeah, actually, we both were familiar with mushrooms when we were living on the countryside. So we went to the forest with our parents and collect mushrooms and eat them. And when we moved to Budapest, it was really hard to get high quality mushrooms.
Yeah, and like at that point when we came to this, like we would like to grow mushrooms, like we came to this conclusion separately. So we were not actively working together before. My personal reason was that I ordered lion's mane capsule from the States because I wanted to have the best quality of lion's mane mushroom that would improve my mental performance. And I ordered the most expensive round and I was disappointed with the results. And I looked into why was that and realized that basically it was diluted with brown rice through a technology that these capsules are usually produced. So I wanted to have the best quality for myself. And that's around the time we met with Sam.
Yeah, and we realized that the easiest way to get these high quality mushrooms is growing them at home. But we didn't know how hard it is.
Yeah, so we started learning everything on YouTube and Reddit. And like it was very complicated to create the growing cakes for mushrooms. So it is not like in the case of plants when you just plant a seed into dirt and voila, there is a plant. But it's a much more complicated process. Can you tell more about it?
Yeah. You have to sterilize everything what you are using to grow mushrooms. And it's really hard because when you are thinking about nature, that it seems to be so easy to just grow mushrooms. But in at home, it's really hard because mushrooms are so weak. The molds are so usually the molds are kill the mushrooms when you are just want to grow mushrooms.
Eventually,
at home.
Mold is also fungi. If you put a substrate, then all of the fungi are competing for the nutrition in the substrate.
And it's like a wolf and a dog. It's the same fight.
How about that?
And that's why you have to sterilize everything. And it first, like it was very complicated to get all the lab equipment, the mushroom cultures. Then there was the issue of creating the right conditions for the species. And of course, you could miss them like 3 times each hour, even when you were sleeping, and measure everything. But we found that it cannot be done without technology.
Yeah, and we had dozens of failure points, so we had to understand what we are doing on the right way and what we are not.
Yeah,
fantastic. So, how did you guys get to know each other? Was it before or after you had this idea? And
yeah, actually, it is really funny because I was thinking about that, and I think we met like 30 months ago.
Yeah, and we met through a common friend, and we like instantly started talking about business ideas together and sharing experiences. Like we were both doing some like agency kind of work or freelancer kind of work before. So we had lots of topics already in common.
Yeah, and it was really interesting because we had like the same ambition at that time, and I think we still have the same ambitions right now. But when we met, we were instantly started to talking, and since then, like we were meet every week or even more.
So we talked about that we had to do some kind of business together after like a few weeks we first met, but we had no idea what should we do. And the fun, like, we were thinking about doing app and stuff, but we realized that we are not interested in like software at all. And when the idea of mushroom growing came to us, like, we didn't even know that we would like to make a business out of it. We just enjoyed doing it for ourselves first.
Yeah, we just wanted to work every day on something which is really interesting for us, and we just wanted to learn new things.
And we did it for ourselves, realized that other people need it, we shake hands and decided to do Shruly.
I think that's one of the amazing things that I've noticed in you two is you just you carry a passion for just doing things into everything that you do. And so this passion for mushroom growing actually turned into to a passion for actually creating a better way to grow mushrooms, which led to the creation of a business. And I think that's really compelling for you two as a founder story. Like, how did you guys know that you were a fit to co-found a company together? It's really interesting that you wanted to co-found something together without actually knowing what the idea would be. But what do you think it was that...
Yeah, I think one of it was that we have really similar backgrounds, and also we have really same interests.
Yeah, so both of us were doing working with materials and creating stuff from a very, very young age. We both of us
and
are
exploding things sometimes.
And both of us are coming from a village where we were close to nature and we were used to trying out and failing with stuff. But I think we've met at a very good stage because both of us had experiences from the past, but none of us had made anything like large from a business perspective yet. So the dynamic between us was very balanced from the start, and we were started learning everything together, and we were like, it was great to collaborate because we were on the same level throughout the whole journey.
Briefly, tell us what were each of you doing in your career prior to Shruly?
Yeah, actually, I was a graphic designer, and I was doing like brand designs and web designs. But I was really interested in creating like products or 3D printing and designing things which is useful for others. So it was my main interest.
So I started doing commercial videos for clients when I was at the age of 16. And I learned how to do great videos and commercials, but realized I would like to do it for myself. Then started basically dropshipping online. And I went through like 6 stores. I didn't make much of money, but I learned lots of new skills. And I realized that I don't have the infrastructure on the e-commerce side that it would be required for a great business to have. So I gone to clients and started managing their online ads and creating the commercial videos for them. So basically I generated sales for direct-to-consumer brands. One of the most notable in Hungary is called Mobile Fox. I've messaged Kevin on Instagram. I was like 17 years old. At that time, they were only in just Hungary, none of other countries yet. So I was there throughout the journey of expanding to new 10 countries and growing the team from 5 to, I think, around 100 people while being in school and not being employed.
Awesome. It's great stories and great background because, Sam, with your experience in terms of graphic design itself and 3D printing and the prototyping and then David, for yourself with really really compelling marketing content and performance marketing experience, putting the two together, I think has been really valuable as you built Shruly thus far. Tell us, you know, what's the current stage of the company? What have you done? You founded a little over a year ago, if I'm not mistaken. What have you done in that time?
Yeah, actually, it's really hard to thinking back in time because it's it seems so long, but in the meantime, it's like a short time. But yeah, we started our company, then we already had a prototype what we made with David, but to create a product from this prototype was a really hard journey. But right now, fortunately, we are at the beginning of the mass production. So it was one of the main.
So I think like what have we achieved in this time that or
yeah, what's the state of
yeah,
the company?
Yeah. So I think the company itself has been founded like 12 months ago, and we had grown a lot in many aspects. Like we had started a crowdfunding campaign, which became the largest ever done by a Hungarian team. We generated more than $1.5 million revenue, but it was like 2 months ago, so it's even more now. And we had pre-sold more than around 7,000 units in a completely new product category. We have an amazing team, and yeah, we are working hard to make it even more amazing.
Well, it's really an incredible story to go from not having a company to having over $1.5 million of sales within 12 months. I mean, that's just not a story you hear, and most especially not in this region. Really incredible. What's different than you expected from when you started the company? You're in now. How have things gone maybe differently or turned out differently than you expected going in?
Yeah, it's a tough question because I think building a team, that was what we didn't really expect before. Like we have a lot of really good teammates and I think we try to find that what we need for the next milestone, and we are going like this method, and I think we didn't really think that that we will have a so good team.
Yeah, and that for me personally, it was like we grew much quicker than we first thought. So we thought that it's going to be big, but didn't thought that it will be this big in this short time.
Makes a difference. I think the combination of the success you're having, which is a tribute to the skills and the work that you put in, but also how passionate you are for your product and just how you go about your work and daily life, is infectious, and it attracts other people to join you. And I think that's one of the reasons you've been so successful on that front. Tell us about how you thought about fundraising for the company, getting funds into the company, and how you've gone about it thus far, and kind of what the results have been on that front.
So we had done everything that we could with our own power without us starting fundraising. So we had the idea. We didn't know how to do 3D printing or how to program microcontrollers or how to grow mushrooms, but we learned everything to get to the point when we had a completely functioning prototype that looked like that a product we would like to sell later. And we learned everything on our own, made everything with no budget, and get to the point when we had a concept that we proved to work on a small scale. We had some feedback from like Facebook groups that they would like a product like this. And basically the one thing that was missing is some capital to get the product in front of enough people's eyes. So that's when we like realized, okay, we will need some funding.
Yeah, but to get a bigger picture, it was like for 6 months when we were working insanely, I think.
Yeah.
and try to put everything we just can into the prototype.
And then we had some like friends who were in the startup community in Hungary, and we reached out to them. We reached out to some people who we didn't know before, but we knew that were in the community. And we've met them, asked for their advice. They like provided us with really great like resources or pointed us to the right directions to what we should research more. And basically went to startup events like the first Monday where we met. And basically our strategy was not so complicated. We were just enthusiasts and were telling about Shuli for everyone. We met everyone. So even when we've met, I'm not sure if you know this, but I had no idea about who you were. I was just joining your little group when you were talking, was listening there, and at some point you asked like, "And what are you doing?" And I remember you were having like a letter of G on your on your shirt. Mm-hmm. And I started answering questions, and the questions started to be more and more technical and about fundraising. And that's where I thought maybe you are an investor.
I distinctly remember that moment. I remember seeing you kind of work the room, and you were passionately telling anybody who would listen about what you were building and working on. And when you came up to me and just kind of started, you immediately wanted to demonstrate the prototype of what you'd built, and just your passion again was just infectious for what you'd done. I could tell how deeply into this product and business you were, and it really stood out relative to what I typically see with founders.
When we were talking to people, like the most common questions we got from like everyday people or people who were interested in buying the product was like, how fast mushroom grow and stuff. But you started asking about like, what is our go-to-market strategy? How am I met my co-founder? And then I thought that, okay, it's going to be more technical.
That's funny. The other thing that that really impressed me that you touched on earlier is that you guys had learned so many new skills and applied those skills to be able to create the first prototype yourself. So many other people rely on others or outsource that or start spending money to on somebody else to figure out how to create the prototype or product. And even though you weren't programmers and you weren't electrical engineers, you didn't let that stop you. You just dug in and learned and hacked and found a way and created a really compelling product and prototype yourselves. And it's super impressive. It's one of the reasons I was so excited to invest in you two.
I think this is what we really like to learn. And it's still a big mission for us to learn something every day.
You know, I think this is a hallmark of great founders is this desire to learn. What are some of the things and most important things that you've had to learn along the way? It could be learn the easy way or learn the hard way, but what are some of those things that really stand out to you now?
Yeah, I think one of the main thing is to never believe for a moment that you have made it, because then you will let your guards off and it's not good for anything. So
actually, we have a really good sample for this. That once back in June, I guess we had a really good day in sales.
Yeah, but before that, we were like grinding like for months, like on weekends, like from morning to the evening, to creating the prototypes and getting ready for like the start of the crowdfunding campaign. And it didn't work in the beginning, but we figured out a way to make it work.
Yeah, and in that day, we just went to partying because we wanted to celebrate the success of that day. But in the second day, everything was going back like to almost to zero. it was a really, really good.
So we had a spike in sales that we cannot attribute to basically anything. It's still like in the top three of our largest volume of daily. And we were like, oh, wow, we've made it. It's going to work. We went to party, drank a lot. And next day, our conversion rate on the website just dropped basically nothing for no particular reason. And then we were like, okay, maybe it's a sign.
Yeah, so we learned that never believe that you are the best.
Yeah.
And or at least have real conviction as to why and how, that you know how to replicate that success over and over again. That's funny. How about learning on the fundraising front? What are some lessons you've learned? You've done crowdsourcing campaign. You've done a SAFE, which very few Hungarian startups have done. I know you've been talking to angels and venture capitalists. What are some things you've learned along the way that you could maybe share with other prospective founders?
If they are Hungarian founders, is that they would really double think if they really like to start with a Hungarian entity, unfortunately. So it's a practical thing that we learned. Overall, I think like it's like start as late as you can. So do everything within your power that you are able to do. So the only thing that should be missing is basically the money. And if that's not there, I think you are not ready to fundraise.
Yeah, and I think testing is the key to success, and never bet on only one things.
I think that's another thing that I found really impressive about you two as founders is the rate at which you test and learn and iterate, make changes, and then test those again and learn and make changes. You've done this with your ads. You've got what, 600 different ads that you've run. The rate at which you're testing and improving your Indiegogo when you did your first crowdfunding campaign, the rate at which you changed that page, you know, how the campaign was run was incredible.
We split test everything, so all the elements, we are very good at that. Like created 600 video ad variations, more than 50 landing page variations. Even on the landing page, the main video, like 60 or 70 variations. We tested like different narrations, like male voice, female voice, other voice of elderly people, different structures, starting with the product, starting with the story. Like we optimized everything.
And we follow this method in the product design and product development as well. We bought huge 3D printers and we are testing everything what we just get, every stupid idea as well. and we can print it, pre-print the new ideas overnight, and we can start to test it on the next day.
Pace is amazing. I think what's also impressive that others can learn from you two is that you're super creative, but you do it in a very disciplined way. You don't just create something to create something. You create it, test it, have a way to measure it, look for learnings, and then apply those learnings and be creative in terms of how you apply those. Once again, it's really, really impressive.
Thank you.
Is there something you wish someone would have told you before you founded the company? Some advice you wish you'd have gotten that you could pass along to future entrepreneurs here?
Actually, I think it was really, really good that we started on our own, and we started with just our ideas. But as you are growing and as you have new tasks and projects every day, I think it is much better to learn on a daily scale than if someone tell you something, because you have nothing to compare that advice at the beginning, I guess.
So I there is no like a special like great or bad advice that we got, and it is, I think, mostly because we are taking many feedback from other people, and we are not just asking for one specific feedback from one people or one person. We're asking for lots of feedback from many people, and basically those advices like even themselves out. So there is no specific one that stacks out, but it's like a group of great advices that we got throughout the time.
Excellent.
Like, is there any like advice that you usually give to young entrepreneurs here?
Young entrepreneurs? I think many times entrepreneurs are afraid to share their idea out of fear that somebody might steal it and run with it. Mm. And I think that's a huge mistake. I think actually what they need to be doing is as often as possible sharing their idea and getting and gathering feedback. If their idea is so simple that someone else can take it and run with it and rip it off, it's probably not worth them that trying to dedicate their life and resources to. They should focus on something that will be hard to replicate, actually. And if they do it well, that they can be very successful. So what you've done in terms of everyone you talk to, sharing your idea, discussing, getting feedback, incorporating all of that feedback, I think is exactly what I would recommend young founders to do. We have a lot of people listening here that would aspire to become entrepreneurs someday themselves. What would you encourage them to be doing now, even if they don't have a particular idea that they're pursuing, but they know they want to start something someday? What are some things that they could start doing now to prepare themselves?
Like, I think start learning new skills. I wish I had learned Excel sooner, because now I don't have the time to do it. Learn lots of new things, because this is a time that you have to learn everything in details. Like, for example, I learned how to type with 10 of my fingers, like very, very early on, like during COVID. And I'm so glad that I spent the time with that back then, because now I get so much use of it.
That's a great one.
Yeah, I think my one of my best idea was that skip the school and learn things from YouTube.
Yeah, I also never applied to college, because you can learn everything you want online. And another advice, if you have the idea what you would like to do, is only start it if you would do it without any external rewards. If you would just like to work on that problem or solution, even if there is no reward with that at all. Because if you are doing it for the reward, then there will be hard days, then you feel like the reward is so far away, you will have zero motivation to work on that cause. But if you believe in it, then you will do it even though you don't see the reward, and it will be much beneficial.
Yeah, as David mentioned earlier, that our goal was to work on something and not to create a successful startup.
Yeah, in the beginning when we got started.
I think this is outstanding advice, guys, because it's really true. You get lost sometimes in the journey of a startup. And if you're not passionate about what you're working on simply for the sake of creating it and building it, then that reward can feel so far away and distant and removed that you don't have the energy and drive to actually make it through each day. And this is something that, again, I think is just really outstanding about you too, and what you're doing with Shruly is you can just see that you're passionate about the product and the need for it in the market, and I can see how that carries you through each day. I think to wrap things up, I'm wondering if there's anyone out there that you would like to thank who has been helpful to you, either you know, along the entrepreneurial journey or setting you up so that you could be successful on the journey.
I think if we would like to like thank everyone who had influenced that, it would be a very, very long list and would be longer than the podcast itself. But from all of the people, I think you have helped a lot, like with the knowledge you have, with the advice you gave us when we had questions. So we'd like to thank everyone who had helped, and also.
And I think we learned that we have to be very helpful as well, because as we get a lot of information from random guys and from friends, it was really interesting that sometimes we didn't really met before, but they just shared a lot of idea and a lot of advice with us. So I think we have to count in this.
So thank you for everyone who helped us on the journey.
Standing, guys. Thanks so much and congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.